many of you have been getting something out of this series? You know, this, I think, was a long time coming because we were running into the dynamic nature of the human body for a while, but this is the first time that we've taken so much care and effort to talk about it. Ministry to the human body is an essential part of God's agenda. And so let's bless the word. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for this day, for this word, for the revelation, and that we are being transformed. We speak that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying and hearts to understand. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We thank you that we are not hindered or checked by any outside force, and that your word performs that for which it is sent. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends. So this entire series is based on this idea that we are created in three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And those three parts of us are not arbitrary, and each of them has their own mind, emotions, ouchies, and will, which is a shout out to all of our cat lovers. This is a game changer because many of us were not presented with this perspective of human design in our upbringing or past. I know I wasn't. Not only does the body, the soul, and the spirit all have their own mind, will, emotions, and intellect, but the heart sits at the center of everything. And the heart serves as the subconscious and as a seat of human intuition. It is the area where we find the unity of our design. And so, with that said, we have explored how the body definitely has thoughts and opinions. We even anchored that to the idea that the second brain is the gut, and that sits in the body. Articulated that the body definitely has intelligence, it definitely holds emotion, even memory. The soul obviously is interacting with our brain. It is our default presenting consciousness. The spirit is like a superconscious mind. And as we navigate life, we are actually navigating life as a being that is fearfully and wonderfully made. We're way more complex than we were told. That matters. We've anchored that to a few scriptures to make it real easy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 4:12, and Romans chapter 2. Now, this is an interesting thing that I have observed when I am ministering to people and people's bodies. Because as we've gotten into the practice of unpacking the mind, emotions, trauma, and will of the different layers of our design, it affords us an ability to engage every layer of design with ministry protocols. And so in the same way that I can talk to a person's soul or soul parts and invite soul parts to come and present, you know, I can invite the body to come forward and be a presenting consciousness. I can say, body, have you ever experienced this? Body, has this ever happened to you? Yes or no? Body, is this food something that you appreciate being put inside of you? Yes or no? The body can react to me. The body can respond. And sometimes one of the interesting things is we may find that there is trauma sitting in the body. It's like, hey, body, were you ever beat up unfairly when you were four? The answer is yes. Do you still hold the trauma of that beating? Yes. Would you like to surrender it to Jesus? No. 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 Why not come from a place of yes? Just give it up. The body says no. How many of you have ever prayed for your body and it didn't heal? Exactly. Now, how many of you know that the Bible is actually very clear about what Jesus did? It says he nailed our sicknesses and diseases to the cross. He died to heal us, spirit, soul, and body. And by his stripes, we were healed. So a lot of times, people, when they begin to engage with the promises of God, have a revelation that God's word means what it says it means. This is how I was trained, right? So we go after the word of God with the agreement of the soul. And we tell the soul, soul, agree that God can do what he said he could do. Will you have faith that God is a healer? That Jesus died to heal your body? That by his stripes you were healed? And what we do is we get a response from the soul eventually that may say, yes, I will agree. I will agree and I will believe God at his word. But sometimes the body still is not healed. And the no may not actually be coming from the soul. The no may not actually be coming from the soul. But why would the body say, no, I would rather not give up my trauma. I would rather not surrender my pain or my brokenness. I don't want Jesus to have it. You could say that all you want. I'm not going to buy it. You know, my wife often encourages me to come from a place of yes. So recently, we took a cruise. Daniel, it would be a great idea to lock ourselves in a 12 by 12 room with two tiny children for a week with no childcare. What do you think? You know, I came from a place of yes. And we did take that cruise. And she's still recovering. I'm not going to say anything about me. But, you know, we did it and we had a great time of bonding. And so anyway, but it's like, you know, sometimes it's nice to know that you are with somebody that comes from a place of yes, that even agrees to stuff that they may have reservations about. Sometimes that is the body and sometimes it's not. Sometimes the body's more like that situation, like, why don't we do this? No. No. Just no. But it's a really good idea. No. This can be one of the most confusing things that can happen. And I believe that we're going to be able to unpack this in a way that's going to make a lot more sense to you in a little bit. But first, we're going to take a detour because I love setting up and then leaving cliffhangers. You know, why would the body not sign up for that? God told me as I was coming in today, he said, Daniel, there are a few things that you do need to talk about today. And one of those things is patience. Patience. See, at the end of the day, we're going to walk into a revelation that the body's a person. The body has its own thoughts. The body has its own feelings. The body has its own will. You know, the will of the body is the reason why the body can say no to something the soul is agreeing to. That's will. But But when we begin to understand that the body has all of these things, we have to look at the body in a different way. We have to stop thinking that our body is just a clump of cells that does whatever we say it should or will do, and start thinking of the body as someone deserving of honor, respect, and kind treatment. Because when we begin to view our body with the value that God holds in his heart for our bodies, we're going to get a different reaction. We're going to get a different response. This is transformation. One of the things that all of us need is patience. Can I tell you something? We don't always have a good day. We are not always at our best. And if you think you are, ask your spouse or your ex-spouse. They'll tell you. We all have moments when we're not at our best. We have moments when we drop the ball. Moments where we are not performing to certain expectations. And when we hit those places, what we need from those around us is often patience. You know, the woman may come in the house and be like, and you're like, how was your day, baby? Oh, it was this and this, and why is this, and why are you wearing that, and what's this on the wall, and bop, 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 bop. A man of God will go, baby, you're the most beautiful thing I've seen all day. How can I help? You know what that is? Patience. That's why that's a fruit of the Spirit. Because when we love someone, we exercise patience. And patience is often revealed in kindness. Kindness. There may be a whole lot of agitation or not rock star performance that's coming towards us, but we react on it with patience revealed in kindness. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when we're having a bad day and someone is patient and kind with us and we get out of our cloud of confusion, that's when we begin to settle in how loved we really are. And it just feels wonderful and safe, and then we apologize and we move on with our lives. These are godly values. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Why am I talking about patience and kindness? The body has a mind, will, and emotions. It has an emotional response to everything. Further, it doesn't always bat a thousand. No one that has ever played the sport of baseball has hit a pitch every time it comes down the line, or has gotten up to bat and never failed to get at least a first base hit. No one bats a thousand. Everyone is going to strike out sometimes because we're all imperfect. Every person imperfect, every soul is imperfect, every body is imperfect. And sometimes we may have patience for others and have a complete disregard of patience towards our own bodies. We may have a complete disregard of kindness towards our own bodies. And so if our body has a tough time, a bad day, or a rough season, it is rewarded with disrespect, accusation, and really poor reactions. You know, when we're training a person, there is a difference between pushing a person to be their best and being impatient. You know, you may have a situation where it's time to do jumping jacks. You know, and you got a person there, they're getting up there to do some jumping jacks, and they do this. They go, all right, ready? 25 jumping jacks. One, two. And then Gen Z kicks in. The Gen Z has to check their social media feed before they get to three. You know how they work out. I've seen them at the gym. Now, this is actually spreading towards the millennials, so I'm not going to, you know, completely disintermediate myself from this. But, like, it's like, no, no, no. They need a coach. And when that coach comes behind us, like, slap, put that stuff down. 25 jumping jacks. Let's do this. That kind of coaching pushes someone towards achievements, results. It's a good thing to push, but it's not a good thing to pull up an Instagram feed and find a commercial. $59.99 and you can look like this AI generated image just 5 minutes a day, you know? And so you get that and you're like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. 5 minutes and I can look like this AI generated image. 10 abdominal muscles. That's what I've wanted my whole life. Okay, so you spend your $59.99 and you get in on their app, which is actually just a link to all of their YouTube videos that you could have got for free. You're like, dang it. So you start your new program that's cost you $59.99. And you know what? After a week or two, you don't have 10 abdominal muscles. And you're like, I hate myself. Because there is no patience with the body. Many of us have lacked patience with the body because we don't honor our body or the journey to wellness that our body may need. And so a lot of us bankrupt on journeys to wellness. I'm not just talking about getting ripped muscles. I'm talking about actually being able to enjoy quality of life because your joints don't hurt, because your digestive system is working, because you can walk, because you can exercise and do physical activities and keep up with your grandkids, et cetera, right? And a lot of times when bringing the body from one condition of wellness to another, we have unrealistic expectations and we lack patience and kindness with the body. We overexert, we go into despair, we quit early, and then we lose the possibility of what our life could have been like if we had stuck to a plan. And oftentimes to get the best reaction and partnership out of our body, we go into a wellness strategy with patience and kindness. We say, you know what, body? I'm going to respect you through this whole process. I'm going to push you, but when you can't really be pushed anymore, I'm going to rest you. I'm going to respect you in this process, and I'm going to affirm you on the progress you are making, not devalue you based on false assumptions and unrealistic expectations. When we have years of mistreatment that our body is journeying, as well as years of abuse and neglect, it can be a process to take a wellness journey for the body. And with patience, God can get us where we need to be. You know, I recently journeyed this in my own life. I decided that I was going to set a goal for myself. And that goal was I wanted to do 50 ab wheels from a standing position. That's not easy. It's actually a lot harder than it sounds. So, you know, when I first started, I could do like 10. And, you know, when you go down and you come up, you're like, it's exhausting. So as I engaged with this goal, what I had to do was take a process. It was 10. Then it was 12, then it was 11, and 10, and 15, and 13, and 16. So I had to do this for months. I had to keep going back, going back, going back. And what I didn't do was I didn't go into self-hatred and disrespect because I wasn't able to perform my goal on the first day. I committed to a process. And, you know, if anyone has ever, like, tried to work out their abdomen, you will know that there is definitely a telltale sign when you're overdoing it. Like, you will go into crisis. Because abdominal cramps are the worst. It's like, I'm going to overdo it. Oh! Ooh! Ah! Oh! Because that thing will lock up. Man. So you got to, like, know, like, when to respect the body. It's like, nope, you got to stop now. Because you're going to go through it. This is the thing. This is the thing. God wants for us to enjoy wellness. God wants for us to enjoy wellness. We need to view our body on our path to wellness as a part of us that is deserving of honor, of respect, of patience, and kindness, and stick to a process that is reasonable and achievable. And if we do that, we're going to have much better results. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say bodily exercise is of little profit. It says it profits a little. And it says godliness profits a lot. But can I tell you that little that it does profit includes better mood, better energy levels, more strength, resistance to injuries later in life. The people that get most injured in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are not the ones that have taken a journey to wellness in their 30s and 40s and are maintaining that throughout their latter years. It's the ones that have let everything go, have compounded injury, abuse, and neglect, and are going into those latter years in a compromised condition. They are more susceptible to injury and chronic illness. Bodily exercise will profit health and blood flow, quality of life, even confidence because of enhanced physical appearance and improved immunity. And these are just some of the little benefits. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that the body is important. It is not to be neglected. The Bible nowhere teaches that. And when we are taking our body from a place of where it was to where it needs to be, we need to maintain some of the same qualities and fruit of the Spirit that we would exercise towards a person that we cared about. Because can I tell you something? The body has feelings. The body has feelings. And it is actually the feelings of the body that may produce the no we don't understand. It's actually the feelings of the body that may produce the no we don't understand. Let's continue. There's something else that I need to tell you about because we haven't touched on it yet. And that subject is blood. Blood. If anyone has ever gone to a doctor and had a blood test, you will know that you can tell just about anything regarding that person's body with a few exceptions by identifying markers in the blood. You can run that blood through tests. You can subject it to certain, you know, chemicals and see how it reacts on those. And it can tell you just about anything, whether you're about to have a heart attack or you have cholesterol in your veins or you are having problems with your kidneys or you are having, like, the blood has the life in it. Everything. And so this is what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Blood contains life, and therefore, it contains a person's essence. The blood is a very important conversation that's happening all throughout Scripture, and you know why? Because when we get to the end of the story, we realize that it's the blood that redeems us. But there's more to this that we need to understand, because as we look at what happens, if a person's blood is drained, the essence can be harvested. You can actually take a person's life force and many of the things associated with that. When you look at the blood, it contains markers. And blood maintains a voice. When blood is spilled unjustly, that blood will cry out from the ground. And this is where we enter a conversation on injustice that is going to add to our final conclusion, which we're not getting to yet. But how many of you know most of us have a big problem with injustice? Now, I want to show you something about the blood, its voice, and injustice. And I want you to follow me into Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8 through 12, which says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. It says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Liar. He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. I want to stop there and point out something. Number one, the blood has a voice, meaning not only does the body have consciousness, it extends into the blood itself. The blood has essence, it has markers, it has a voice. It can speak. And it should not be eaten or drunken, because when it is, it defiles the person that does that. Watch this. Who swallowed Abel's blood? The earth. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the blood. So in the same way that an occultist will be defiled by drinking blood, the land will be defiled by unjust bloodshed. It is forced to drink it. The Bible says, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. So the blood can speak, and the blood can defile when it is spilled unjustly. But watch this. The blood of Jesus achieves the absolute opposite effect. And in Hebrews 12, in verse 24, this is what we learn. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. While the blood of Abel cried out from the ground in justice and defiled the land, the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven and cries out justified, cries out qualified. It cries out reconciled. And from that place in heaven, it is releasing the finished work of God in our favor. And this is the thing. Everything that we see the body of Jesus achieve is something that was pre-programmed into the body of Adam, though he probably didn't know it. Jesus has blood that can speak from the mercy seat in heaven because Adam's blood was programmed to speak. There isn't a single thing that Jesus did in his resurrected body that Adam's body could not have done if he knew what to do with it. One of the things that we learn when we read the book of Genesis is that Adam, in that first state, was put in a posture of ignorance. He was actually amnesic of the past. He was veiled from all of the events that had happened up to that time. The serpent knew what he was doing, but Adam did not. The whole pre-Adamic conspiracy that produced everything that Adam was stepping into was veiled. They didn't understand it. Adam didn't know all of his abilities or capacities. He didn't even know he was naked. So yeah, Adam had no clue what he could have been capable of. And before he found out through God's way, he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was disqualified. But what we are focusing on here is that the blood can cry out, and it will actually interact with people at times from a different dimension. Now, this is interesting because, you know, most of us are locked into 3D thinking, so we don't always understand the spiritual ramifications and the transdimensional nature of physical blood. But can I tell you something? The same body that was born in the womb of Mary is the body that Jesus took to the cross, is the body that bled on that cross, is the body that then went into the grave, is the body that then was resurrected from the grave, is the body that then ascended to heaven, is the body that then appeared before God to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. The blood that got sprinkled on the mercy seat was the same blood that came out of the physical body of Jesus. And it is that blood that was carried into a much higher dimension to speak justification on our behalf. But guess what? When we are covered in the blood of Jesus now on this side of the veil, it's not like you have to go to a bucket and find it and pour it on yourself. That blood is interacting with you from a different dimension. Does that make sense? The Bible says this in 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. But these abilities of the blood, the ability for blood to defile land, the ability for the blood to defile people, the ability for blood to contain markers and essence that can be harvested, the ability for blood to interact in various ways from multiple dimensions is why the occult is obsessed with blood and defiling everything with blood. They want to advance agendas of injustice through blood and bloodshed. They drink the blood. They self-harm to spill the blood. They, you know, the prophets of Baal, when Elijah confronted them, sat there and cut themselves all day long. That's demonic stuff. They create circumstances to lead to unjust bloodshed. They conspire to create wars and rumors of wars. They want people, brothers killing brothers, genocide. They achieve that with conspiratorial activities and witchcraft. They sign contracts in blood and they engage in unholy blood covenants. These are the things that we renounce. These are the things that as the children of God and the people of God, we break and cancel as intercessors on behalf of our bloodlines. We are here to break the cycles, the contracts, the iniquity that was seeded into our bloodlines because of poor decisions ancestors made that defiled not only the bloodlines we represent, but the lands associated to the bloodlines we come from. Because if you think that people need healing, breakthrough, and freedom from defilement, I promise you that's only half the equation, because the earth had to drink the blood. And that is an injustice that the creation is waiting on the sons of God to bring correction to in the name of Jesus. Which brings me, by the way, thank you, to a conversation on injustice. Because, you know, what we don't connect is that the body has feelings, it has a mind, it has a will, and therefore, it has the capacity to have an opinion about injustice. It can have an opinion about the injustice of the blood it had to spill. It can have an opinion about the injustice of the lack of patience and kindness it received on the back of the traumas it carried because of our abuse, neglect, and mistreatment. It could have an opinion about all of these things, and it has a voice it would like to use, but when that voice is silenced, sometimes it can process as injustice. The body is keenly aware of injustice. Now, let me explain how this begins to ground out. Let's say you have two children, okay? They're on a playground. Child A has a toy, child B has no toy. So what does child B do? Snatch. So child A now has no toy, child B has a toy, and child A is upset. So they say, "No, what are you doing?" Now, authority figure comes over and assesses the situation poorly. "You're in trouble." So now child A is experiencing injustice. Because they had a toy that was robbed from them, but that's not what's being judged. What's being judged is their emotional fallout. And they're also receiving a punishment. You know what this is? This is compounded injustice. This is when you are punished for what was done to you. Now, if that is the situation, an authority figure is like, "Now that we're done punishing you, go apologize." You know what? That child might be like, "No." "Well, why not? It's the godly path of reconciliation." "No. I won't. I will not apologize." "Well, if you don't apologize, we'll just punish you again." "Fine. But no." What's happened? Because that child has been systematically divorced and disintermediated from their voice and a path to justice, it makes the godly and redemptive pathway confusing and undesirable. Yes. See, because we have viewed our body as a collection of cells that either does or does not do what we'd prefer, we have disintermediated the voice of our body and the feelings of our body from our perspective of reality and how things should work. So we come to the body and we're like, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Give your trauma away. Be healed. Because the soul is convinced of the word of God. But the body's like, no. So we come back and we're like, I hate you. You're the worst. This is why God doesn't use us. You're the reason why I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. The answer is still no. See, injustice is something that the body, the soul, and the spirit all take deep issue with. And the reason why is because we're created in the image of God. And God takes issue with injustice. Let's take a look at Leviticus 19 and verse 5. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. The word translated injustice in that passage is the word evil. Evil. I want to say a few things. Before we unpack evil, we need to understand that one of the deep sources of injustice that the body bears is that it doesn't get to dissociate or abdicate situations of explicitly physical and sexual trauma like the soul and the spirit can. You know, in the book of Judges, we read about Samson who killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Afterwards, he was so thirsty, he thought he would die. His body was in a state of extreme trauma. He was beyond exhaustion. And he begged God, are you going to let me die after this great victory? And God opened up water, and he was able to drink. The Bible says at that point his spirit returned because it had left. The spirit can leave and abdicate situations of trauma and abuse just because it doesn't want to be around. The soul will dissociate during times of abuse and trauma. It'll just shatter. The mind will split. That part will run down the hallway of the mind. I don't know what's happening. I'm not going to stick around for this. I'm gone. The part of the soul that may stick around at the surface will get locked up in an amnesic, reinforced container, cell, or prison on the inside, and that'll be forgotten. This goes along with the pathway of the brain. The amygdala passes out, the hippocampus doesn't write narrative memory, and the memories of the traumas go straight into the soul parts and the cells of the body. So now the body is left with the burden of the trauma that the soul dissociated and the spirit kicked out. And you know what? It is then disrespected and hated for the fact that it has an unhealthy burden on it from surviving that trauma. So now, because my body's in dysfunction for all the things it survived, I hate my body for being in dysfunction and not doing the things that the body would do if it had no trauma. You know what that's called? Double injustice. It's an injustice from the world, and it is an injustice of self-betrayal. And that is part of the reason why when you come around and you say, all right, body that I've hated and neglected my whole life and despised because it had a response to all the things I dissociated, forgot about, didn't want to look at, heal, and it says no, and we're confused. Oh, by the way, you don't get a voice, though. See, this is the thing, the body actually keeps a record of trauma. This is an injustice conversation. And the body can absolutely be hesitant to release trauma until it feels like I've had my day in court. Because I couldn't check out for the things you left. I took it. All of it. This word, evel, is the same word used of Lucifer in his rebellion. It means injustice, iniquity, and unrighteousness. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity, evel, was found in you. Lucifer's iniquity was tied to the concept of injustice. The fall of Lucifer, the pre-Adamic rebellion, and everything that caused this age to then transpire, that caused the entire created order trauma. His rebellion caused the entire created order trauma, which is why most of our human spirits are going to burn on the subject of injustice, because our human spirits were deeply affected by the injustice connected to Lucifer's rebellion and everything in creation that was defrauded by injustice. Injustice naturally burns in many souls when we perceive things that are clearly unjust and unright. When we perceive things like child trafficking, where children that are completely helpless and innocent are sold to the highest bidder, deflowered and disposed of, killed and slaughtered for the lusts of perverts. That creates in us a deep feeling of righteous indignation. Unless our conscience is completely seared, and we are one of those perpetrators. The reality is, injustice has a huge influence on the soul. Because we inherit our design from God. What makes you think the body would be any different? Every layer of our design is affected with deep conviction surrounding injustice. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 25, you shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measures, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Injustice is tied to false scales and false measures. And the Bible goes to the extent that says people that practice injustice are an abomination. That's the deep conviction around this thing. The Bible says in Psalm 89 and verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. That's the position that God rules from. Hallelujah. He rules from the seat established on justice. So if we think that we are operating in a full identity and expression as sons of God, but subject our bodies to deep injustice because we rob the voice of our body, we disrespect and dishonor our body, we follow really broken wisdom, which is not wisdom. This is what it sounds like. Well, you can heal and get completely delivered without ever remembering a single trauma memory. Really? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to run into the fact that at a certain point, your body, which has stored all of that trauma in it, wants a voice. And when you defraud your body on the basis of this ignorance, the body will eventually come to the place where it says, no. Until you hear what I endured and survived, I am not going to surrender my trauma to Jesus, period. And you can yell at me as long as you want because you've already been doing it for 40 years. I'd rather die. Sometimes the body would rather die. Sometimes the body chooses death over submission to a redemptive process because it's so mad, dishonored, disrespected, and disqualified. So what do we do? I've found on many occasions that as I'm working with human bodies, it is the shift in perspective to honor the body, to repent to the body, to acknowledge the trauma that is resident in the body. Yeah, you might have to have a memory you don't want, but that's your body exercising its voice. That's your body being heard. That's child A getting to say, I had an emotional fallout because they took my toy. You know, it's hard sometimes to forgive a person before we've been able to process the reason why they need our forgiveness. This is therapy 101. People forgive in therapy what they couldn't forgive in reality and in actual events because they have a safe place to process their perspective on what happened. Come to a place of resolution and then release forgiveness. Get on board with the redemptive process of God. What makes us think our bodies are any different? Yeah, you dissociated, but your body didn't. So what makes you think your voice and your perspective is any more important than your body's? On a healing journey, everyone gets a voice. God restores voices that have been silenced. Which is one of the reasons why John in 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because when we listen to our body, when we listen to the truth, that is sometimes the bridge. Sometimes it's just the truth alone. Just the truth alone. The knowledge that the truth has been revealed to the soul and heard in the courts of heaven that allows for this no to become a yes. Yes, I will surrender my trauma to Jesus. Yes, I will let him heal me. So today, we're going to give an opportunity for a bridge to be built. And what we're going to do is we're going to honor our bodies, acknowledge our bodies, and give Holy Spirit the opportunity to bring forward knowledge regarding trauma our bodies are holding that we have not acknowledged. Holy Spirit knows what you can handle. You can trust the Holy Spirit. God will never give you more than you're able to bear. Don't lock them out because you're afraid you might see something you can't handle. Holy Spirit knows. And the only thing he's going to show you is what you can handle right here and right now. So what we do is we submit. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. Let him show you. And then we're going to make our appeal because what he shows us will have its day in court. And we're going to let the record that is maintained in our body be presented before the courts of heaven and demand justice on the basis of our injustice. As the body experiences the reality that its voice is heard and that there is justice being meted out from on high, you'll be surprised at how much the body is able to suddenly let go. Surrender. Turn over to Jesus. Because sometimes it's not God's no that shuts things down. It's ours. And sometimes it's not even the no of the soul. It is the no in the body. And so we're going to engage. And we're going to believe God. So Father God, we thank you for the environment. We thank you for the river of living water flowing from the throne of God. We thank you for the stripes of Jesus and that by his stripes we were healed. We thank you for the environment of your love and acceptance. There isn't a single part of us, Jesus, that you don't love. And there isn't a single part of us that you didn't die to restore and to heal. There isn't a single part of us that lacks value in your eyes. And that extends to every part of our bodies. And so, bodies, we bless you in the name of Jesus. And we honor you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for the trauma that you have suffered and endured in order to survive. We also thank you for surviving and staying alive. We thank you for continuing to live despite seasons where there was a lack of care, proper rest, love, respect, and support. We acknowledge you for your visible and invisible injuries. Holy Spirit, we now pause to request that you bring to the front of our minds traumas that have been stored in the physical body and its organs down to its DNA due to the injustices that we and even our ancestors have suffered. We know that we may not be able to handle everything. But Holy Spirit, we give you permission to bring to the front of our minds the thing that you need to reveal the truth about now. I thank you, Father God, because it is written that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We now appeal to the courts of heaven on behalf of ourselves, our parts, our family lines, bloodlines, cell lines, and traumas stored in the body and all those that we represent, and submit all relevant testimonies of injustice relative to the traumas that Holy Spirit has brought to mind in combination with every item detailing the crimes of the consenting humans and entities involved according to the heavenly cosmic records. We pray that the evidence of injustice and criminal activities would be weighed on the scales of justice. And based on the injustice detailed by the evidence, I demand judgment. I call for a crushing blow against the implicated powers of darkness and all of their operations in all time, space, dimension, and reality into light and its inverse, executed by the armies of heaven, chariots of fire, the broom of destruction, the tsunami of living water, arrows, lightnings, glory, bombs, the axe of the Lord, and the fiery stream that proceeds forth from the throne of God to collapse all of their realms, programs, backup programs, bases, labs, craft, operations, pre-Adamic conspiracies and evil workings, grids, power sources, and backup power sources to the fullest extent that the manifestation of our justice and evidence submitted allows for, as you administrate judgment in your righteousness, Lord God. Human bodies. There is justice for you in Christ. There is redemption for you in Christ. There is hope for you in Christ. Bodies, cells, organs, blood, DNA, RNA, and essence. We invite you to surrender trauma that you have held concerning the things that have been addressed over to Jesus right now. I thank you for divine exchange, Jesus. You give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Divine exchange, life for death, healing for injury. I thank you for the impartation of correction on physical ailments, injuries, dysfunction, and disease states tied to trauma. In Jesus' name. And if you're okay with that, I want you to say amen.